The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome on in. John Wilner will be with us today as we break down the NCAA tournament and some items that I see around March Madness. Not as luster as it once was, in my opinion. This is an old guy on the get off my lawn. It's just things that I see around the tournament that are of concern. U of A, GCU, much more. That's coming up with John Wilner. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business, as always and through the years. That's Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. The tournament. So let's just start there. And U of A, 2015 was the last Elite Eight for the U of A. And if you're a U of A fan, then you'll take this next few moments as that I'm a hater, and I'm not. I'm simply pointing out you haven't done anything since 2015. And everybody's watching you because you have this tendency to be a flop. It's not hating, it's a fact. If you're one of these U of A people that doesn't get a little bit nervous about where your program is headed here this coming week against Akron, then I guess you're just always going to see you got your red and blue bear down stuff going. It's fine. That's what fandom is. It's blind fandom. When I ask a U of A fan, are you a diehard U of A fan? Why, yes, I am, Brad. I said, yes, you are. You have died hard many, many times. And that's how it goes when it's March Madness and the U of A. That's a fact. Let's not sit here and try and sugarcoat it. Be that as it may, a 4 seed against the number 13 seed in Akron. And for U of A, it's really about as Caleb Love goes, in my opinion, as Caleb goes, Love goes, so will the U of A go. If Caleb Love does not play well, in the postseason, you need your stars to be at their highest marks. You need to hit your free throws. You've got to do the little things that show up in a stat box. In particular, hitting your free throws, because this is a tournament where you're going to have the 51-49s. You're going to have a game that's much more slow down. You're not going to see games typically into the 100s. You're just not. It's going to be more slow. It's going to be more pace. It's going to be more tempo. U of A would want it to be upbeat. See, if Akron's got this game in the 50s or 60s, it's not good for the University of Arizona. Grand Canyon, on the other hand, they're in a space where I just don't feel like they're in it for a long run this year, or a run maybe at all. I like Bryce Drew. I think that this team has been missing something this season that Gabe McLaughlin brought them last year. You've got to reload. Is it Tyon Grant Foster, who hasn't played consistent minutes? Is it looking at the next level with him? There's got to be something that's just not quite on the same page as what we've seen out of Bryce Drew teams in the past, in my opinion. And they meet Maryland. Maryland's really good. If they have everybody healthy and ready to go, Maryland should be able to advance in this one. But GCU has strong guard play. That makes a difference in postseason as well. The overall thing on the tournament is the most interesting storyline is Cooper Flagg. Beyond that, who is it? If you have a team you're rooting for, I get it. But a lot of us don't. And so when you see across the landscape of your bracket and say, boy, I really like this player, I really like this team, that's fine, but it's not really going to move the needle. To think that the NCAA tournament isn't run by guys like Bubba Cunningham and getting North Carolina in, that's a joke. To have a second-round matchup, what a shock. In the second round, we could have Rick Pitino coaching against John Calipari. How did that happen? Because it's made for television. That's what it is. It's the business of sports. People don't want to talk about this, want to enjoy their games, enjoy their teams, but you can't tell me that they don't sit there and say, well, we've got to get some matchups together because we want compelling television later on. That's how it works. That's how it goes. Doesn't mean that it's fair. Doesn't mean it's right. On the women's side, women's is far more interesting to me in terms of star power. I could go down the list of girl, you know, Paige Buchers and Juju Watkins, and I could go down the list. The story in our state is Grand Canyon University. They're the only ones that made it. Molly Miller, their head coach, done a terrific job. Long win streak, 8 seniors, set up for a big run. Oh, and by the way, Arizona State is looking for a basketball coach, and her name is right in the middle of all of it. Does it mean that she should leave GCU? I think if Grand Canyon is not seeing some things on the back end with Molly Miller, like if she wants this and she wants that, it could be, hey, there's some opportunities for you elsewhere. Thank you very much. It's time to go. If this is as good as it's going to get for her and she hits the mark, hits the lottery, and Arizona State decides to jump through and around and over people like Breon January for their women's team, then they're going to hire Molly Miller, and Jerry and Brian Mueller aren't going to stand in her way. So it's interesting to see her. She's got to go to Baylor. You'll find out right off the top if you're ready to go or not. So, yeah, I'm interested in the tournament, but the women's side has more compelling storylines to me. The Suns are not a compelling storyline. I want to talk about things that I see an end to in a good way. I can't sit here every day and make excuses or say it's all going to work out. I would sit here in, as I did in October, November, December, January, February, and say, you know, here's the thing. These games are pretty meaningless. They'll flip the switch. They'll be ready to go. Devin Booker finally said something after yesterday's performance, or lack thereof performance. Like, they just rolled in, and the Lakers rolled them. Final score was not even nearly as close. Yeah, it was a four-point game at one point, but it was 11. They looked disinterested. They looked asleep. They didn't look like they wanted to be there. Early start time, body clocks, whatever the excuses are, this is a team that just doesn't seem like they want to get through it. And Dallas is down in numbers. Dallas loses, Suns lose. And tonight you have a back-to-back against Toronto. And that's pretty much it. I mean, there's some free agent stuff. I think Cooper Kupp going to the Seahawks. Once again, if you're the Cardinals, you're a Cardinal fan, and you see what's going on within the NFC West, a lot of change, a lot of movement. Was it all good? Was it not good? The Cardinals make a splash on the defensive side of the football, and they go about their business. It's different. We haven't had the sign a free agent that's past their prime yet. We haven't had the bombshell that comes in that's simply there to move social media and get people talking about us. We haven't had that yet. I'm expecting it, but it just hasn't happened. And baseball season starts next week. I'm very excited for that with the Diamondbacks. All right. John Wilner is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, John Wilner joins us for a couple of moments. I'm going to say moments because John probably, March Madness is like your busiest time of the year outside of bowl season. Or just never stop. You look like hell, John. You look like you've just been working all day and all night.
Pretty close, yeah. I got a couple hours of sleep. Not much. That first 18 hours after the tournament's announced is a very busy time. Same with when they announce a college football playoff and bowls. But yeah, it's fun though. No complaints. And I'm all ready. I'm all ready to talk.
You.
Here we go.
You. Okay. So I'm curious if you're the commissioner of the Big 12 conference, who's let it be known that he thinks basketball has maybe an angle that hasn't been played on that much yet, and it could be an opportunity for the Big 12. You wake up today and your thought process is, what if you're Brett Yormark?
You're not super happy, I got to say. West Virginia kind of got hosed, if we're being honest here. I mean, they had a way better resume than North Carolina in the metrics that are supposed to matter, and they got left out. Their athletic director is not chairman of the selection committee. North Carolina's is. Do with that piece of information what you might. Now, the other thing is that the Big 12, I believe it's 3 years in a row that the Big 12 has had the first team out. Last year, Oklahoma was the first team left out when it was still in the Big 12. And if you compare Oklahoma's resume last year being left out to North Carolina's resume this year getting in as the last team in, Oklahoma's got a better resume there, too. So I think if you're Brett Yormark, you're very frustrated. You're happy you got seven teams in. You were hoping for eight. But look, Big 12 is one of the best conferences for basketball. It has been for years and has several teams that could make a deep run in the tournament. And one of them that could win it all.
Do you think that if you're Brett Yormark, you're looking at this saying this only galvanizes my thought process that I want to reinvent March Madness? Or am I going too far on that and what Brett Yermark wants to do? We've heard the comments about him with basketball, John. So I'm just wondering if there's more ground for him to stand on today, CNC. We could do this tournament and we could do it in a better way.
Well, this is a perfect case for expansion of the tournament. If you're the Big 12, Brett Yormark has said publicly he favors expansion to 76, so adding eight teams. Mm-hmm. If that happens Saturday, West Virginia would be in the field. So in a way, what just happened in Yormark's mind, I'm sure just confirms his belief that more access is needed. Now, the issue with expanding it is, yes, you'd get a West Virginia in, for instance, and maybe an Ohio State, but does Boise get in? Does a good mid-major that got left out get in? Or are those additional eight spots only going to go to the power conference schools right. that finish in the middle of the pack? I don't think anybody wants to see eight West Virginias in the field, right? One or two would be great, but we want to see, you know, the team from the Missouri Valley, another team from the West Coast. Those are the type of schools that make March Madness special.
Yeah, and I guess the way that it unfolded for me, like, I've been watching UC San Diego most of the year. Only
yep.
because that head coach, when there was discussion about who could be Bobby Hurley's replacement, that head coach to me checked a lot of boxes. Young, not going to cost a lot, has done it for several years, and could come into a death trap like ASU and work through it. Graham Rossini's decided otherwise. Actually, Central Campus has decided otherwise. And Central Campus have taken in all the debt from ASU Athletics. And so Bobby's pretty much getting a clean slate. I think there's going to be some news this week on the next couple weeks on the facility finally being upgraded. But be that as it may, it feels like the UC San Diegos are getting pushed to the side. I'm with you. I don't need to see West Virginia against Ohio State to feel like March Madness is any more special.
No, for sure. Look at the at-large breakdown. There are 37 at-large spots. Mm-hmm. 20 went to just the Big Ten and the SEC. So that is 9%. Those two conferences have 9% of Division I schools, but they took more than 50% of the at-large bids, right? And then you add in the Big 12's total of at-large and the Big East total ACC, and there's almost nothing left, right? I mean, the Mountain West got a couple. St. Mary's got in, but very, very few at-large spots for the, you know, the conferences that are outside of the Power Five. That's not going to, you know, what makes the tournament special. I agree with you. I don't think UC Irvine, which lost to UC San Diego in the Big West Finals, I don't know that they deserve to be in because they lost decisively, but there were other schools that you could have made a great case for and would kind of create that magic in the early rounds.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes, chopping it up. We appreciate him. He's been working through the night to jump on board with us, and then he's going to crash and burn for a few hours, we hope.
Well, first I got to write an article about whether Arizona is going to flop in the first round.
That's a pretty easy one, right? But what are we, 2015, the last time they made the Sweet 16, won a Sweet 16? I think it's 10 years, John.
Or yeah, won a Sweet 16, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I had some other stuff, but let's just go down the path of U of A. What do you see for U of A?
I think they got a real shot to win two. I don't think they can win three. I think Duke's too good. Duke beat Arizona in Tucson. Look, Arizona had played three games during the season against number one seeds. One against Duke, two against Houston. They lost all three. Two of them were at home. I don't think they've got the extra gear to get past Duke, especially in Newark, where Duke will have a huge amount of crowd support. Do I think Arizona can beat Akron? Yes. I think the fact that Akron is a trendy upset pick will help Arizona's be locked in. Do I think they can beat Oregon? That's a tough one. Dana Altman is a terrific coach. The two coaches know each other, but I give Arizona a pretty good shot to get to the Sweet 16. Much better shot if Caleb Love shoots the ball well. We'll see. The Wildcats, I believe their last nine tournament losses have come to teams that were at least four seeds lower. So that is underachieving at its best. We'll see if they can kind of reverse that trajectory this year.
Is it as simple as, Caleb Love goes, so goes the Wildcats here the next couple weeks?
I think it's pretty close, because I just don't know that KJ Lewis and Jaden Bradley are going to get the shots they can make in the tournament against defenses that are well-prepared and that are locked in, right? Those guys are not three-point shooters. One of Arizona's biggest flaws is inconsistent outside shooting. I still think defensively there's a little bit of a downside risk there. Their metrics on defense are not what you'd think for a Final Four contender. So if Love shoots the ball well, I don't know if they can beat Duke, but they can certainly give Duke a good game. If Love doesn't shoot the ball well, they could lose to Akron, but they certainly, I think, have a good chance to lose to Oregon. He needs to play well game after game after game.
Grand Canyon University, will make it brief on them. I think that what Bryce Drew has done, again, is a remarkable job. He has not had a glue guy. He had Gabe McLaughlin last year. Much better cohesive unit. This team feels like some of them, Ty and Grant Foster, are looking at the next level. And it only makes sense. GCU, have any shot to get out?
I'm just checking. They got Maryland. That's right. That's a tough matchup. Maryland has got a lottery pick for a big man, Derek Queen. And they are very talented. I think Maryland actually is a potential deep run, even as not a four seed, potentially could make a deep run. This is the opposite of the draw that Grand Canyon got last year, right? Opening with St. Mary's was perfect because they had too many athletes, right? This one, I think, is the reverse. They're going to have a lot of trouble with Maryland, even if Grant Foster has a big game. And I'm not sure he's missed a lot of time. And they just don't seem like they got it together for the conference tournament. There have been too many fits and starts with them, it feels like. Different vibe out of there than we had last year, and definitely a different type of matchup in the first round.
Before I get you out of here, the tournament itself, I'm not as into March Madness as I used to be from this simple standpoint. I need some big storylines. And this is a bigger conversation. I think that Bubba Cunningham had no idea or didn't lobby at all for North Carolina as a joke. He pushed for his team to go in. To think that, oh, what a shock, we could have Rick Pitino coaching against John Calipari in round two. What a shock. So this is TV-made matchups all over the place, and there's just not that many of them, John. Cooper Flagg is the most interesting player. Pitino is the second most interesting storyline to me. I don't see the deep players that I have to get in front and watch like we've seen. Women's side, there's plenty of them, and I know that doesn't
Yeah.
But is the men's side kind of lost some of its luster, John?
I think it has, but this isn't the first year of that. I think that there's been a problem for several years on that front. Part of it, too, this year, you know, some of the blue bloods, middle, right? UCLA, 7 seed, Kansas, 7 seed, Connecticut. Carolina barely got in. Connecticut, 2-time defending champs. I think we'd feel a lot differently if Connecticut had a real chance, or we thought Connecticut had a real chance to three-peat. That would be a huge story. You know, they're like an 8 seed. So some of the blue bloods are not what we have come to expect, and I think that detracts from it to a certain extent. The NBA, you know, the constant pipeline, kids leaving after 1 year to the NBA hurts the sport. College basketball is searching for an identity, I think, in this era, and it has yet to find it, at least on the men's side. For sure, the women's side, because they don't leave as early, the players are much more identifiable. Men's side needs to figure some stuff out over the long haul, for sure.
Who do you like to win it all, John?
I like Duke. It's not very original. Duke is the betting favorite at 3-1. But boy, they are loaded, right? They have 3 lottery picks. It's not just Cooper Flagg. They're very good on defense, which some Duke teams in the past that have lost early in the tournament have not been very good defensively. This team is. They have got everything, and they've got also a very good draw, in my opinion. So I picked a lot of number one seeds. I picked Duke, Houston, Florida, all get to the Final Four, plus Michigan State. Beating in the Auburn region. We'll see, but to me, Duke is the team with the least amount of flaws.
All right, go to bed. You have done your work. I will let you go off that. Appreciate you as always. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Brett.
There's John Wilner, and we're back with more after this timeout.